Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Even though the building's different, we're all here. It's just like we're anywhere we would be together. That's wonderful. I just wanted to give you all a little factoid. I've been in the process of transferring our sermons to the new website at ucg.org. And so that's given me some information as I prepared to get those process properly so they would go across to the new site well. Could you go ahead and take the volume down just a tad? We actually have public and private messages published. This could be just audio or could include audio and video. 342 since 2011. Yes. And 184 are by the Four Musketeers. The four speakers that tend here regularly. But interestingly, in looking at that, I had been looking at it for another reason. If it hadn't been for Mr. Smith giving a sermon or a sermonette on Thanksgiving, about the subject of Thanksgiving, just a month ago, I couldn't find any titles where we had done that in all those messages. That's not a criticism. It's just I was surprised, and here's why I was surprised. If you are familiar with social media, there is something that's become popular that on Thursdays, of course you can do this at any time, you post something about your past, and they call it Throwback Thursday. And so we have a Facebook page for the church that reaches out to people sharing our videos so they can hear our sermons and so forth and so on. And so I take advantage of that little thing because you can use a hashtag, TBT, for Throwback Thursday. And, yeah, we need to go way down on that. And so I can take an older message that we've never posted to Facebook and justify posting it as an additional message that week on Thursday. So it'll be an older message, probably not yet publicized. So anyway, that's how I came about that discovery. Well, that experience, that whole experience, led to today's message. But how would I approach the topic? If you'll recollect from Mr. Smith's November 7th message, he shared with us examples of Thanksgiving going back in biblical time, giving thanks, what people did. He shared with us man's proclivity to, unfortunately, be unthankful. And he shared with us a range of thankfulness, which went from unthankfulness to what we might call deep gratitude. And since that time, I've also reviewed from other congregations in the United Church of God other messages about giving thanks to sort of reflect on the approach that was taken. These were all great messages to remind us of our blessings, that we should be thankful for them. And they also offered great ways to practice thanksgiving. Well, today's message, however, will attempt to explain how to be truly thankful. The key word here is how. In other words, I do not want to discuss practicing thankfulness so much as I want to discover that inspires thankfulness, so that the expression of thanks, the thing that people talk about a lot, is not so much the practice and the reasoning to come to thankfulness. It'll make sense in a second. Let's consider something all of us have experienced in one way or another to clarify what I want to focus upon today. Imagine a child with her parents. They're in front of the TV. She's 4 years old. It's 2 weeks before her birthday. And she's not even thinking about her birthday, really. She's four. She's watching the TV with her parents, and a commercial comes on advertising a beautiful baby doll. This little girl, who loves being babied by her own mom, enjoys the affection her mom gives her, becomes mesmerized by the description of the doll that she can feed and she can change. The eyes close when you lay her down. She cries and she coos. The advertisement ends. She looks right at her parents and confesses, "Oh, that doll is so wonderful. And if I had that doll to take care of, I would never, ever, never want another doll again." Dad replies, "Well, your birthday is coming soon." The girl is too young to be setting up a strategy here, though with her daddy's words, she believes her parents will provide at some time in the future. She remembers what daddy said, in other words. Her dad gives her mom some cash, and she buys the doll as a gift for the child's birthday. The day before her birthday, she gets a cold, runny nose, low-grade fever, a cough. She wants comfort from her parents. She might ask them for medicine or soup, for instance. But she's also happily dreaming about having that dolly. Have any of y'all experienced anything like this? Been the kid? Okay. Her birthday arrives. She's still sick, but she receives the wrapped present. And she's excited, though not knowing exactly every detail about what this doll will look like. This doll that she believes will be the doll above all dolls. She opens the present. She sees the picture of the doll on the package. And without having completely unwrapped the package, now totally detached from all her troubles, the cold, the sickness, she drops the package and flies into her mother's arms with a huge smile. Tears in her eyes. "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mommy." Straight to her dad she runs, wrapping her arms around his neck. "Thank you, thank you, thank you, Daddy." Consider the following. The story's over. Was this little girl doing something expected of her when she gave thanks? Or was this spontaneous, heartfelt thanksgiving toward the people she immediately recognized as the source of this fulfilled desire? Right? She couldn't get her own doll. She didn't have the money. She didn't know how to go to the store. She had no clue. But she knew who gave that doll to her. She had no question in her mind about what she thought would make her happy forever, even when she was sick. And she had no question in her mind about who provided her the gift, her parents. Something similar happens in the Gospel of Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll start reading in verse 12. "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.'" That's all he said. "And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," verse 15, "returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet," Jesus' feet, "giving him thanks." Like the little girl in my example, this cleansed leper, once he realized his desire to be healed was fulfilled by Jesus, he spontaneously runs back and, figuratively speaking, wraps his arms around the neck of his benefactor and cries, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." That was figuratively. He didn't show that in the scripture. He gave thanks. That word for thanks comes from a Greek word, number 2168 in Strong's, eucharisteo, E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E-O. There's a number of variations of this word, and they all have a similar meaning, mainly probably the way they're used grammatically. To be grateful, actively, to express gratitude towards, especially to say grace at a meal. So in this case, they give an example of asking the blessing on the food. Of course, that's not how it was used with Jesus and the leper. But from other scriptures like Philippians 4, we see this same kind of thanksgiving expressed no matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances. Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, comma, with thanksgiving, comma, a qualifier, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So let's say you have family troubles. You could insert any idea here. Something that could bring anxiety that would naturally lead to you being anxious. The instruction here is that you need not worry, but take your problem to God for resolution, prayer and supplication. The kicker, the qualifier here, is that it must be done with thanksgiving. Are we talking about thanksgiving for the trial itself? Some would say so, but I don't think so. I think verse 7 tells you what the thanksgiving is for. Reading verse 7 again, so with thanksgiving, because you've done this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That thanksgiving is just another form of that same word. I'm not going to go over it, except that it's the next number, 2169. And so it's the same spirit of gratitude. So this thankfulness is something that exists, this particular thankfulness. If I'd had more time, I would have talked about other forms of thanks. So this thankfulness is something that exists whether things are going well or going badly. It's the same thanks and the same attitude. We can read in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you want to turn there, 1 Thessalonians 5, just as a re-emphasis, it's a little more general. Verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. So hearing these stories and definitions brought to us through Scripture, so the story I made up and the story in Scripture and the definitions we find in the Word, what inspires spontaneous, heartfelt thanksgiving and in any circumstance? What inspires spontaneous thanksgiving and in any circumstance? If it's this peace of God that surpasses human understanding, what is this peace? Let's turn to 1 Peter 1. Very helpful scripture. First Peter 1, I'll start in verse 3. Really grab on to every word here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's describing something extremely important here, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. There's your trials again, and yet you're rejoicing, and you're rejoicing in what I just spoke of, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, here's a good reason for these trials, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at the revealing, at the return of. Though you have not seen him, you love Christ. You love him. You love Christ. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Verse 9, obtaining, taking possession of the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The little child was given a toy that fulfilled her every desire, and she was grateful to her parents for that gift she could not acquire for herself. The leper was healed, and he was grateful to Jesus that the gift of healing, knowing healing was not for the gift of healing, knowing healing was not something he could give himself. He could not do it himself. What do you want more than anything else ever? You, each one of you, what do you want more than anything else ever? What is it that you, with God's Spirit, can be so thankful for that thing that you can thank God in every circumstance you face in this life? What is this thing that bestows upon us the peace of God? In closing, God has offered us a gift, too, already, that with His Spirit to give us the vision, because we really need that from Him, to have that vision, is to be desired above all other desires. If you and I learn how to desire that gift, you know, the girl is picturing the doll. She hasn't had it yet. She's been promised it. She's seen a picture. She doesn't know exactly how it all works out because it's not been in her hands. The leper had no idea what it meant to be clean. I mean, he saw other clean people, but he wasn't. And then he was healed. What is that thing that if you could objectify it, if you could hold it, if you could feel it, if you could smell it, what would you be able to look at and hold that no matter what other thing was in your life that was troubling you, they'd have to go through that filter instead of that having to go through those filters, right? When I've been really under trial and I wasn't focused on this gift, I would even get mad at God. I would ask Him all these crazy questions. I would be so focused on getting out of this terrible situation. It's because I couldn't get to that gift that He'd already given me because I was looking, trying to see it through another thing that I was dealing with. Another thing I wanted, right? Something else I desired. There's nothing wrong with desiring being healthy. There's nothing wrong with desiring having great relationships, but if they supersede when they don't go well, this other gift, then we're going to struggle and we're going to have anxiety. We're not going to have the peace of God. Okay, and that gift is God's promise of eternal salvation. That's the gift. You get that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You get that through their forgiveness. You're asking forgiveness and He will change us to become like Him. And if we can, if you and I can learn how to desire that gift and that gift of God's promise of eternal salvation, then we can endure any and all things with spontaneous, truly grateful thanksgiving of His promise.